It used to be, Stefano, these technologies were adopted because patients wanted them, patient direct marketing or other things. But I think that's changed. Many of these technologies, once you try them in your hands, you start to realize the actual impact they can have, and not just for the surgeon.
Welcome to our new series. We're calling DocSF 25 Previews, where we take a few minutes to connect with some of the speakers who will be joining us at the UCSF, University of California, San Francisco Digital Orthopedics Conference here in San Francisco on October 3rd. Today, we get to speak with Alexander Saw. Dr. Saw is an orthopedic surgeon. He is the co-director of the Institute for Joint Restoration and director of the Outpatient Joint Replacement Program. He is a Harvard Med School trained surgeon who then went on to do his fellowship at Rush University. And then soon thereafter, started his private practice here in the Bay Area and has been extremely successful. So, Alex, so welcome to DocSF.
Stefano, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here, and you put on such an incredible meeting. It really is a must-go-to meeting of 2025 and to learn about all the new advancing tech. So it's great to learn from you and your experiences and see what else is cutting edge. So I appreciate you having me on to share a little bit about what we do here in Fremont, California.
So Alex, you come into DocSF again. I think you've been there before. 2025 will be amazing. We've asked you specifically lead a session about how to make the technology work in the OR. And that's because, as far as I understand it, you actually have brought in at least three companies or three technologies in your system. One is OrthoGrid, another is Think, and the third is Ospitech. So tell us a little bit about those three companies, what they do for you, and how you managed to make that happen.
So living in Silicon Valley, Stefano, we always have a lot of technologies and new options to look at, as you're well aware. And I must say, even though I'm always looking for the next best thing, I am somewhat of a slower adopter because I want to make sure these technologies make a difference and really have a meaningful impact if I am to adopt it. And so, interestingly, these three technologies came about in really different ways. The first was OrthoGrid, and it really came about out of necessity because with my direct anterior hips, we simply no longer had the ability to purchase C-arm printer paper, just nationwide. It became obsolete. And so we had to find an alternative, and we tried the different variations out there. And OrthoGrid was the one that stood out above the rest because it's just so much faster, so much more accurate. It led to us being more efficient with our anterior hips, and certainly the reps liked a lot more because they didn't have to trace paper or do overlays or do anything else. The AI technology has become so good that it can really be quite predictive and give you information real time. So that's really transformed our direct anterior hips. So that was the first technology we adopted. And then the second you mentioned was the T-Mini handheld robot, which happens to be right here in Fremont. So again, I got very lucky, was able to be involved with them early. And while I've tried other large platform robots, this handheld robot really served all the needs that I had and addressed all the concerns I had while adopting robotic technology for knee replacement. It's a smaller platform. It doesn't have large footprints in the OR. It has an overhead line of sight for the robot, and it works with regular workflow so that I don't have to change my workflow or use big robotic arms when doing surgery. So what I found was that this technology allowed me to be time neutral. It gave me all the benefits of the lot, but put it in my hand in this handheld wireless device. And so I quickly adopted it. And now with the multiple companies that are on the platform, surgeon can choose which implant they prefer. So that's really changed me from being a manual instrument surgeon to a robotic surgeon, amazingly. And then lastly, in terms of efficiency, migrating to the ambulatory surgery center, we always want to be more efficient. And while I always thought I was efficient and my OR was efficient when I was in the room, I always wondered what was happening in the other room or what was happening to the staff. And the tech came about where it really gamifies the process where the entire staff can be involved, the nurses, the techs, the surgeons and anesthesiologists can all see what they're doing real time, how long it takes to do something, where there might be slowdowns in the throughput of the ASC, and puts it in a readable platform that everyone can look at and really learn from. So we find that our entire staff wants to be better. They want to find ways to be more efficient, and then everyone wins, from the surgeon to the staff to the ASC to the patient. It really wins for everyone. So what's strange about that is, Stefano, is that just suddenly I find that all of these new technologies are ready to be used real time for surgeons in their ORs.
Really amazing and wonderful to have a surgeon like yourself join us and tell us exactly how you made these things work. And It's important also for people to realize that, like you said, you're not the first guy off the block with this thing. You had to see it and you had to touch it and feel it and make sure it worked for you. But when you integrated it, you found that sure enough, it delivered exactly as promised.
That is absolutely true. I think technology is advancing so quickly that many of them out there are concepts or maybe not ready for prime time. I think many of the technologies and advances now really can make meaningful differences. I think it's worthwhile for surgeons to try it because they might find that these things can help them in ways that they really didn't even know they needed assistance.
That's really good. I like that, by the way. Yeah. You don't know what you don't know, right?
That's 100%. And it just so happens that these three technologies that we've adopted really have served those purposes. It has helped us in ways we didn't even realize that we could use the help. And that's why it's not going to go anywhere. We're going to keep using them.
Tell me about what you've learned in the process of adopting these technologies, the change management piece of it, the adoption piece. What did you learn that you didn't know when you started?
I think it's good to have a little skepticism when you're looking at new technologies. And we have a lot of toys in orthopedics. Everyone likes to come out with their new, bright, and shiny technology. And I think it's okay to want to make sure that it really will make a difference and be helpful in your day-to-day life. And I think that what I learned was there are technologies out there that are ready to help. They're not all just knockoffs. There are technologies out there that, depending on your program and how you do things, what your setup is, I think it really can help the surgeon and the workflow. It used to be, Stefano, these technologies were adopted because patients wanted them, patient direct marketing or other things. But I think that's changed. Many of these technologies, once you try them in your hands, you start to realize the actual impact they can have. And not just for the surgeon. These technologies now, a lot of the advantages and the benefits are not necessarily even for me. It's for the SPD. It's for the rep. It's for the nurses. It's for the techs. These are all people integral to the overall workflows. It's not just the surgeon.
So in fact, now I'm referencing Ospitech, that gave a really brilliant lecture at DocSF, I think 3 years ago. Their approach to optimizing the flow of goods, the flow of funds, the flow of staff through an operating room, particularly the ASC, has made them extremely successful.
It is a unique platform, and I was really impressed by it because I love the technology they have of putting a tracker on the patient's wristband. So that patient is known as they're moving through the various parts of the ASC experience. And so what's great about that is it's seamless. I don't have to know anything about it. I don't have to watch anyone or check on anyone. It just happens in the background. And that's the best kind of technology and advancement where I don't have to supervise it. It's all working and happening, but I can see the benefits and the outcomes of it on basically a very large display that my team and I can all review during the day or at the end of the day.
So tell me a little bit about how your staff adoption cycle was. What did you have to do to get everybody on board with these new technologies?
It's interesting. They're all a little bit different. With the OrthoGrid, it was mostly for the nurses, the techs, and my rep to adopt that, because with direct anterior hip, that's just, those are the people integral to that portion of the procedure. But immediately after using it, there are just some technologies you use where you know this is a game changer and we can't do without it. And this was one of them, just because it made everything simpler. Everyone could use it. It helped the speed of the case and the efficiency of the case. So that one was very easy to adopt. Ospitech, again, because it gamified things, everyone adopted, even though it involves a wide spectrum of different players in the ASC, all of the staff are engaged. So that's what makes it somewhat unique, is that there's really no resistance to it because everyone wins and it's done in such a way where everyone can benefit from it. And again, it's in the background. So I think when things are resisted in adoption, it's because they are changing workflows, they're cumbersome, and they lead to a lot of staff resistance. Neither of these two did either of those things. And the last one with T-Mini, obviously robots, there's high risk for resistance to adoption because of just the nature of it changing how standard protocols and surgeries are done. But this robotic system had the easiest adoption of all the other large robots that I've tried, mainly because it doesn't change major workflows. It's a much easier setup being a small single tower, and then the handpiece and everything else is in one sterile tray. So the reps still today say this is by far the easiest robot to set up, and it's the most similar to our typical workflow. So again, thankfully, adoption for that T-Mini had zero resistance.
So there's a theme there, right? Simplicity, and it has to solve a problem.
That's right.
Let's look forward. You go to Academy, you go to DocSF, you may go to some of the meetings, you may track us online with DocSF. And is there any technology that you're seeing come down the pike that you're excited about?
There are. We talked about it. You brought it up, Stefano. What are some of these technologies that might be able to help us do things that we don't do so right now? And I think we're getting better and better with our primary surgeries. I think that we're going to see more technologies being used for revision surgeries. So I think as some of our current robots are being adopted towards that, I think it will help make those outcomes even better. And I think the infection may be addressed even better. There are some technologies looking to help reduce the bacterial burden with some technologies that we have not seen before that I think will be coming out very soon.
Absolutely. Dr. Shaw, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us today. We're excited about your program and what you have to bring to DocSF 2025.
Stefano, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you in San Francisco.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
Thank you so much.